Hari Om. To conclude our mini podcast series on honoring our elders, today we will be learning from our guide, Vivekji, on the value of our words, speaking truthfully, usefully, and beautifully.
Hari Om, and greetings from Niagara Falls. I'm watching the movie on Edward Snowden right now. How many of you have seen this movie? It's called Snowden. None of you. How should I be feeling right now? Do you all know who Edward Snowden is, though, right? By a show of hands? Okay. And there's a part of this movie where he's training to be part of the... I think he's training to be part of the Navy SEALs, but he breaks his leg, and so he instead applies to be part of the CIA. And the person who's training him is sharing, future wars will not be fought on land, they'll be fought in cyberspace. Not be fought on land, but be fought in cyberspace. And the implication of this is that his understanding of the internet and so on makes him so valuable. Now, where I'm trying to go with this is the pranamaya kosha, or the breath, which is part of the gross body, it is a equipment that outputs. Now, can you share with me, between thoughts, words, and actions, today, which of these did you output with the most? Thoughts, words, or actions? You have to choose one. It is the cyberspace that's going to be the field for the next war. So the framework I'm going to share is about how do we use our words in a profound way, use our words in a meaningful way. And the source of this framework comes from Bhagavad Gita's chapter 17. In chapter 17, Sri Krishna shares what it means to be disciplined with one's vak, or speech. And he shares, one's words should be, number one, satya, which in English means truthful. Number two, hita, that's the next filter, which means useful. And number three, priya, which means beautiful. No word should come out of our mouth that is not truthful, useful, and beautiful. And that's the problem with coming to such a class, because the bar is raised so high. Tomorrow, even if I tell you not to practice Mona, you will practice Mona, because so much of what we say is not truthful or useful or beautiful. Yes? So let's reflect a little bit more on truthful. Before I get into this, I want to make sure you understand why I'm focusing on words right now, because our words really do affect our thoughts. When I use words like hate and ugly and stupid, see how your thoughts don't feel good. Vyas and I were in the car. I was driving back from tennis with him, and Green Day had come on, and the song American Idiot had come on. How many of you have heard of this song before? So he said he liked this song, and I was like, do you know what this song is about? And he doesn't. And I said, I like the band. I've seen them before, but I just don't like the word that they keep using, which is idiot. And he had said, what does idiot mean? And my point is that for him, it doesn't mean anything. Those are just random characters put together. But for us, if I say idiot, and you know, in the whole discourse, I just keep saying, that's so idiotic. And I met this idiot today. And you know, I feel like I'm such an idiot, right? Don't your thoughts get affected by this? And then actions also. Words are the next expression goes into actions. So that's why words are important. So coming into truthful. Truthful words really are words that are describing your own experience. Your own experience. You have verified this experience, and so you have a right to speak about it. When we don't know something, and suppose I talk to all of you about Brazil, and you don't know anything about Brazil, but that's one of our greatest fears, is the fear of not knowing. I don't want you to think that I don't know. So what do I start to say? Anything about Brazil. Brazil. You don't know Pelé? I know Pelé. Right? We just start making whatever we want to about Brazil. But it's not my verified experience, correct? And one more point I wanted to share about this being truthful and verified by our own experience. Yes, in the Ramayana. At one point, Ravana had kicked Vibhishana and kicked him out of Lanka. And he was approaching the area where Bhagavan Rama and all of his allies are. Now, when they saw Vibhishana leave Lanka, everyone started to say, "Oh, that's Vibhishana, that's Ravana's brother who's coming to spy on us. We should capture him, we should kill him." Everyone's saying this. Who's not saying anything? Hanumanji. And who's the only one who's actually met Vibhishana? Hanumanji. So Bhagavan Rama notices this and says, "How come you're not saying anything? Haven't you met him before?" And Hanumanji's response is, "I have met him before, but I don't want to condition how you feel about him." So truthful with his words that I'm not going to say anything. This is my narrative. You should have your own narrative towards him. Such a high bar when it comes to truthful. Okay, the next filter is useful. On a scale of 1 to 100, okay, I want you to quickly try to review your day today. 1 is useless. The majority of what came out of your mouth was useless, and not just your mouth, what you're typing in the chat also. Emails, all of that kind of stuff is useless. 100 is completely useful. Like, you changed the world today. This is your State of the Union speech. So give me your rating. In terms of a reflection on what you're sharing being useful, two reflections. Number one, this has to be useful on the person who's listening's terms. Now, if I come back to the example of I'm speaking to my kids. If I speak to them like an adult, it's not really useful to them, correct? I have to speak to them on their terms, not my terms. Correct? And now the second reflection is, when it comes to useful, you have to be ready not to be liked. Yes. If someone just facilitated a presentation that they were not prepared for, and then they come to you and say, "How was my presentation?" What are you going to say? "It was interesting." Or "it was nice." The most nondescript words. But really, if you're going to follow useful, you're going to say, "You could have prepared better. I don't think you were very confident in what you were sharing." Now, how do you think that person's going to feel about your useful words? Right? They're going to react to that. And you have to be ready to absorb that they're not going to like you. But that is the characteristic of a friend. A friend is one who challenges another to be their best. Here is where Vairagya, if I can give you one more reflection on this, we keep defining Vairagya as not having dislikes and likes. I'm the first to talk about that in meaningful mornings, but I have shared another way to practice Vairagya is not to live to be liked. As long as you live to be liked, it's a game of insecurity. So far, so good, everyone. Our daily support is on our next What We Are Not, which is the physiological personality. What I input, what I output. What do I output the most of? Thoughts, it's true, but you can't know my thoughts. You can know my words. So, how do I be disciplined with my words? How do I engage in tapa so that I train myself to know I'm not my words? Satya, hita. And what's the last criteria? Priya, which means beautiful. How many of you watch the show Brooklyn Nine-Nine? See, I'm training myself. In July, I'm teaching a group of high school students on movies, meaning, and me when I'm in Washington, D.C. So I'm prepping for that. But those students are going to be way more knowledgeable on movies and shows than this group of students. So there's a certain character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. His name is Captain Holt. How many of you know who Captain Holt is? So today, when Sheila and I were watching that, she was like, wow, you really are like Captain Holt. He is the most monotonous person. He has no emotions when he talks. Like, he doesn't know grammar, he doesn't know punctuation. Like, there's one scene where he's trying to intimidate someone by saying, "How's your wife?" Because this person is not treating his wife well. And he just doesn't know how to intimidate. He's like, "How's your wife?" You know, it's like non-intimidating at all. So my point here is about when it comes to beauty, so much of it is about tone. Yes. What is the tone you're using? What is the energy that you're radiating when you're using your words for this to be beautiful? And relatedly, when it comes to beauty, when we have our retreat debriefs, we tend to follow a practice called two positives and a problem. So, what did we do well in the retreat? The retreat was organized and the retreat was fun. But the problem here is we were not punctual. So, now if you analyze this, there's still a net gain, correct? We're still up one step. Up one step, one up one step, then down one step. So, the beauty of the tone, the beauty of the sequence. This is simply for your extra thinking as we transition into our discussion. Sri Krishna only shares these three criteria, but many commentators add one more criteria when it comes to using one's words, and that is mitta. Mitta in English means measured, and I was thinking all day about how to come up with this sort of word that ends in full, like truth, full, useful, beautiful, but I couldn't think of anything. I just came up with simple. Succinctful is not a real word, but that's your job now. You come up with that word that is measured, succinct, simple, short. That is a fourth filter. This is a really awesome daily support that can make such a difference in our relationships with ourselves and others. Oh.